Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Senate judges that the respondent, Donald John Trump, former President of the United States, is not guilty as charged in the article of impeachment.
That was Senator Patrick Leahy, Democrat from Vermont. It's over. It happened late on Saturday afternoon. The former president was cleared in a 57-43 vote. But wait, there's more. Some Republicans say they really weren't on board, but they weren't wanting to vote to convict, so to speak, or find guilty the former president because they believe the trial was unconstitutional, an issue that the Senate had voted on during the first day of the trial. But not all Republicans appear to view the votes on constitutionality and whether to convict or acquit in the same way. Seven Republicans joined Democratic colleagues to vote in the other direction. However, they were part of that 43, not the, they were part of the 43, not a part of the, or sorry, they were part of the 57, easy for me to say, not the 43, but it did not make up the two-thirds majority. That's what happens when you get freezing temperatures and these single digits. Crazy. Kate Delaney, welcome to the show. And I know many of you feel the same way about the weather. The weather in Washington, though, first, because Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell did rebuke Donald Trump's incitement of the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol, but he voted to acquit, and he said there is no question that the former president bears moral responsibility. He said that on the floor, and then he wrote an op-ed piece as well in the Wall Street Journal. He said his supporters stormed the Capitol because of the unhinged falsehoods he shouted into the world's largest megaphone. His behavior during and after the chaos was unconscionable, from attacking Vice President Mike Pence during the riot to praising the criminals after it ended. He said, "I was outraged, as any member of Congress would be, but senators take our own oaths. Our job wasn't," again emphasizing this, "our job wasn't to find some way, any way, to inflict a punishment. The Senate's first and foundational duty was to protect the Constitution." And he said that he did a study on it, and he concluded that Article 2, Section 4 limits impeachment and conviction to current officers. So again, Trump was cleared in a 57-43 vote when Mitch McConnell suggested, by the way, that the former president could be subject to criminal prosecution in the future. But for now, it's over with. And moving forward, the president today, on his way to golf, gave the thumbs up to supporters who were hanging around and saw him come out in with his driver, and he waved and gave them the thumbs up. So now what happens moving forward with the Republican Party? Because right now, for sure, the former president still has a very, very big megaphone, a voice, and people that follow him and have given money to the former president. In a sense, he has power of a different sort over those that'll run for various offices within the Republican Party. So watch and follow this storyline, as we will be too. Millions in the U.S. are without power due to the extreme cold. I feel very fortunate that I'm not in that group, because every single one of my friends have been a victim of the rolling blackouts all over the state of Texas and in some other areas too. So the governor called out the National Guard to help in Kansas, the governor asked the people to do all they could to conserve power. In Kentucky, they said people needed to be cautious because more frigid winter weather is coming. You could mix all the governors together and it spells out the same thing, that people were in all kinds of trouble because of the winter weather that they faced, meaning ice and snow and temperatures that they haven't seen in a very, very long time. And those power outages were over 5 million customers across the country. But here's the real kicker. 4.2 million of the outages were in Texas, where the rolling blackouts started overnight. So the severe winter weather has sparked all those emergency declarations in seven states. And I know a lot of you are listening to me there, Alabama, Oregon, Oklahoma, Kansas, Kentucky, Mississippi, and Texas. And it's a good thing because people have been stranded. People have been in car wrecks. 9 people died in 3 car crashes in Texas last week. 1 person died in a wreck in Oklahoma on Sunday. 3 were killed in Kentucky. And the mercury just keeps on dropping. So the warnings are there to be very careful and to stay inside if you don't have to go outside, especially because in so many of these areas we're talking about is they're restocking their salt supplies, but this isn't something that they're used to. So you have falling limbs and trees, and then, of course, it's about the power lines, and then you add on some of the ice that's expected, and then that just becomes that much more dangerous. And then there's this other curveball that people, I think, sometimes don't realize, and this one scares me to death for people, carbon monoxide poisoning. And those are casualties you just absolutely never want to see. So people trying to get warm who are turning on devices, bringing them in their house, sitting in their car, falling asleep, some terrible, terrible things because it's so easy. It's like this, it's a deadly thing. And innocently, you can make yourself a victim of that. And so watch and be careful what it is you're doing to stay warm. Things that people used to say to do is a lot of what you don't want to do, especially in the kitchen. People have been stranded, even though we are in this pandemic and a lot of people aren't traveling. There still are some. So more than 4,000 flights were canceled on Monday. Same thing is happening on Tuesday. More flights have been canceled where people are listening to us. It's pretty bad. If you look at Houston, Hobby in Houston, forget about it. Lafayette Regional, Baton Rouge, Metropolitan in Louisiana, and Jackson. Same thing with the international airport. They're all closed on Monday. So the reality of electricity and power and rolling outages is something that has, again, really hit a lot of people when they go through the single digits and, again, the 4 to 6 inches of snow. And then, again, you throw on the ice that's expected. So it's going to be a very, very rough week. No question about that. And then there's the pandemic. So John Hopkins now tells us 27.7 million cases in the U.S., 486,000 deaths in the United States. Worldwide, 2.41 million people have died of COVID-19. More vaccines are on the way, but there's also a concern because of these outages that some of the vaccine won't survive that is refrigerated in some of the areas that have gotten slammed by these power outages. Oof. It's about the numbers we can count coming up.
Times are certainly uncertain. In fact, the return of food shortages is likely. Don't take chances. Make the decision to acquire a dependable supply of long-lasting emergency food. Food that lasts for up to 25 years in storage, ready the moment you need it. There's an old saying, failing to plan means planning to fail. Don't wait for the next crisis. Have a 3-month, 6-month, or even 1-year supply of food on hand. It's easy and affordable. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leader in emergency preparedness. We've served millions of folks like you for over a decade, and our mission is your survival. Our meals are delicious and provide you with 2,000 calories a day, and our kits arrive quickly and discreetly at your doorstep. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com and feast your eyes on the food that could save your life someday. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Take the pressure off yourself. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and face the future without regrets.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Want to dominate the stock market in 2021? Looking for higher profit potential? With the COVID vaccines, a shifting political landscape, and a new year, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find out how. Make 2021 your year. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance and maximize your gains. Text MONEY to 411-411 and experience Vantage Point for free. Protect and grow your capital now. Don't wait. Text MONEY to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits of some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
On February 16, 1968, Senator Rankin Fight completed the first 911 call made in the United States in Haleyville, Alabama. Yes. I was thinking about this today, the history of that, how this small Alabama town really pioneered something that has become the go-to in an emergency. Kids know 911. Dial 911. I mean, it's drilled into you from a very young age. So that's over 50 plus years old. How about that? And it works, right? So you think about it and you think about that system and how that came about and how it came about was actually pretty interesting. The, you know, if you go to the town, there are banners that hang from the streetlights that have the seal and a red phone receiver and the words home of 911. And you see that when you go into City Hall, because that, I mean, that's big. Are you kidding? Like I said, who in the country doesn't know what that means? I mean, they have to have some pride, I would think, for that, and to develop a single phone number to call for emergencies was just absolutely brilliant. And I guess the president of the Alabama Telephone Company read about the decision, and he was upset that independent carriers were left out of the conversation. So he had an idea. He took the company's owner, and then the rest is history. So this was, the guy's name was Bob Gallagher, and he said, I think we can do a 911 system and beat AT&T out. And they said, go get them. And then that was it. And they were off, and they did it, and they pioneered it. And so, you know, you're having a heart attack, somebody's breaking in, all kinds of things have been used for 911. Have you ever used 911? If you have, you can think of that town in Alabama and what they did. All right, speaking of what they did, this story has become huge, and I understand why. The state of New York and the fact that their statistics were not in order when it came to, you know, what happened, the misleading information of what happened with nursing homes and COVID-19. So obviously Governor Cuomo is a little bit under fire for statements that were made to the media and state lawmakers on the extent of the deaths stemming from the mandate last spring for nursing homes to take in COVID-19 positive patients. So he just kind of, I think, brushed over what happened, but they looked at the numbers and saw that they weren't correct, and that became that misleading, that withholding the information, that data became obviously a very, very big deal. So a top aide to Cuomo acknowledged the release of the data on the COVID-19 in nursing homes because they thought it would be used against them by the Department of Justice. And so now a growing number of people from both parties are, of course, accusing Cuomo of withholding key data and calling on the legislature to strip. They're calling the legislature to strip him of his emergency powers, which have allowed him to impose sweeping rules and restrictions during the pandemic. And, you know, they released a partial transcript of the call, because the New York Post had a leaked audio recording, and basically in the recording they say they weren't sure if they were going to give the Department of Justice the data or what you give to them or what was going to be used against them, and they weren't sure if there was going to be an investigation, and that was the big role in why they didn't hand the data over, because it does have to do with money, because it has to do with then what happens to these, you know, people, because not reporting the number of nursing home residents who died from the virus after being transferred to hospitals until January 28th, when the Department of Health released an estimate hours after the Attorney General issued a report faulting the state for withholding the number. There were key questions as to why that happened. So here's the number we can count. Let me get to the lead. More than 13,000 New York nursing home residents have died of COVID-19, either in the home itself or in a hospital. The number comes to 15,000 when other long-term facilities are included. So that number was very different than the number that was out there. And I think there's going to be a lot of questions that are still going to be bubbling up that is not over with yet at this point. I mentioned this number, but I'm going to mention it again. The winter storm has affected at least 150 million people across 25 states. And sadly, the number of people that have died has been climbing, but at least since the actual winter storm started, four people have died. And the forecast is there's going to be more heavy snow coming into Tuesday and Wednesday, and hundreds of daily record low temperatures have been or will be broken during this polar plunge, as it's being referred to in some areas. So if if you're in the Midwest, you're in the Plains area, you get it, you've lived it, but it's very, very sad when you hear stories like a 10-year-old boy died after falling into a icy pond in Tennessee on Sunday. Luckily, the other side of that story is his 6-year-old sister was rescued by an adult that was there, and these two kids just walked onto the pond was frozen, but it wasn't sufficiently frozen to support their weight of the kids. And then in Louisiana, there was a 50-year-old man in Lafayette Parish who slipped on ice, and you slip on ice, and that can be deadly, and it was, in his case, hitting his head on the ground. And then, of course, there were crashes, car crashes, that you would add into those sad statistics. When we look at money, and we look at the stimulus and the stimulus checks, and because people were wondering, and I've gotten some emails on this in the mailbag, whether or not the tax deadline would be extended or would it be April, and the answer is it's going to be April unless something dramatically changes. The IRS has said that. But I had somebody ask an interesting question because of the stimulus that could be coming before taxes are filed for many, and because of the stimulus that some received last year with COVID, is that something that you claim on your taxes? And the answer to that is no, not the stimulus. Different if it's unemployment, but not the stimulus. So if, for example, if you go to the $1,200 mark and you got $1,200 for yourself and then for a spouse, if you have a spouse or kids, and then you add up all those numbers, there's your numbers. I mean, people could have gotten, who knows, $5,000, $6,000, whatever it could have ended up being with the two stimuluses, or less than that. But it does not count, I won't say against you, but it's not something you claim on your taxes. And if this next one goes through, then that also would be the same thing. It wouldn't be something that would go on the taxes because it's not something that you pay for. All right, moving to another number, and it's the travel number. You know, because of the pandemic, of course, travel has been impacted, especially in some of the destinations where people would normally go, like Las Vegas. That's a destination place for conventions, for people to go and take a weekend, whatever it might be. And they say now more people are going to be allowed to gamble in the Strip's casinos. So the Nevada governor has announced he's rolling back COVID-19 restrictions set in November that limit casino capacity to 25% starting on the 15th. The capacity limit will begin to roll back in phases and will jump from 25 to ultimately 35% with COVID restrictions in place. Stay with us.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Bad theater seats, cheap Halloween masks, my apartment, all things with obstructed views. Add to these large trucks and buses. 18-wheelers and large buses have big blind spots and, like my apartment, they don't always have the best view. Bus and truck drivers deal with blind spots around the entire vehicle. Always take care not to ride alongside or too close behind them. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki. Researchers have found a new batch of coronavirus variants in the United States that appear to have the same genetic mutation. The variants share a mutation to the gene that affects how the virus enters the human body. The study's authors say they're not yet sure if it makes the virus more contagious, but they fear that may be the case. Dr. Jonathan Reiner is the director of the cardiac cath lab at George Washington University Hospital, and he tells CNN that the recent discovery shows that the U.S. needs to put more effort into tracking possible variants.
Well, what this does show is that we really need to rebuild our genomic surveillance program and identify in real time when these variants emerge. And because the implication is eventually there'll be a variant that will evade testing and will evade our current vaccines. There's no evidence that these variants do that, but that's the concern going forward.
This is USA Radio News. About 6,000 National Guard troops remain in Washington, D.C., protecting the grounds of the U.S. Capitol. But how much longer will those troops and fencing be surrounding Capitol Hill? Some lawmakers want an answer to that question from House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Congressman Devin Nunes says he's seen no information showing that it's necessary for the troops to remain in the Capitol. The California Republican tells Fox News that it's time to send the National Guard home.
It's nice to see the military out there. They're great guys and women. I mean, thank God that they're there. But the truth is, they don't need to be at the U.S. Capitol. The fact of the matter is, the Guard could have been called in. Fences should have been put up before January 6th. We had the intelligence in order to do that. So the FBI knew, the FBI related that to the Capitol Police. But now moving forward, what I can tell you is I haven't seen any credible information whatsoever that would lead that we would need all the fencing and all the guardsmen that are still there. They need to go home.
This is USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Author's Corner is a very talented man, Christopher Gary Simmons. It's audio and it's a book, and I'll explain. And it's called A Tribute to Hip Hop and Shakespeare's Othello, When the Night Fell, Part 1, Clear Rise. So When the Night Fell is a literary version of the modern musical. You follow the characters Clear, Ego, Cash, and Diamond on a theatrical odyssey inspired by the fictional tragedies of the Shakespearean cast that includes Othello, Iago, Michael Cassio, and Desdemona. Perceptions of race, class, and societal norms are all challenged here. Imagine Othello for a second reincarnated as a white minority navigating through the predominantly African-American hip-hop community and culture of today. So this book pays homage to a classic piece of literature by sparking our imagination and really expanding our perspective, and that nails it. Author Christopher Gary Simmons elevates his unique style of spoken word poetics by combining the storytelling of William Shakespeare with the broken English of Langston Hughes. The rhythmic production used throughout the audiobook, is what I mentioned, enhances the reading experience, creating a profound tribute to lyricists everywhere and our memory of the character Othello. This innovative project will move readers, I really believe that, to connect with Shakespearean's dramatic tale while being transported blissfully to a new level of melodic expression. Christopher Gary Simmons is in our virtual green room. Christopher, thanks so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about the title and what it means in relationship to the story that I was laying out there in that intro.
Got it. So it's a tribute to hip hop and Shakespeare's Othello. So the idea is, if you took the cast of Othello and just transported them into today's time, what would that cast look like and what would that story look like? And then how would it be told? And so transferring not only the characters, but also transferring the medium by which it's shared. So taking the iambic pentameter of Shakespeare and transitioning it into a lyrical style, line for line, character for character, from the beginning to the end, it totally transforms it into something that is the same and completely different at the same time. And so that was what the intention was. So When the Night Fell is the idea of, and it's spelled K-N-I-G-H-T, so not When the Night Fell, but when the night fell. So the idea is that Othello kind of fell on his sword at the behest of Iago and his urgings. And so my character Clear is the same character, just in reverse, with one Caucasian male character and a cast of African American characters or characters of color. He falls on his sword in the same way. So, but just in modern times. And so, and every line and every lyric is written so that it's a back and forth exchange of lyrical kind of conversation between each character, and it has an audiobook that goes with it, with a musical complement that allows you to listen to it as a full on musical. So that's the idea of it. And so I called it When the Night Fell because obviously Othello falls at the end of the story of Shakespeare, and then you'll find out what happens to Clear at the end of When the Night Fell. So it's a tribute to hip hop. It's a tribute to Shakespeare. And I call it Clear's Rise because it's the first half of the story. And so it takes you through his rise. And then the next book, which will be Clear's Fall, will take you through his fall.
What was it like reversing, you know, kind of inverting the story, then also putting the music to it and combining that? What was that process like for you?
Well, I thought a lot about, like, who would these characters be? Like, in real time, what would they be? And I thought, for lack of a better example, Eminem was kind of the first person that I could think of that would fit into the mold of maybe who this character might be. And who would he fall in love with, right? And so maybe he falls in love with a record producer's daughter, or maybe it's a huge mogul like Jay-Z, and he falls in love with Jay-Z's daughter, if Jay-Z's daughter was of age, right? Or someone like that. And what if, you know, there was someone in that community that really despised him as a person, or for whatever reason wanted to see him fall, and created enough consternation between him and that relationship that it totally imploded in a way that was tragic. And so that from that premise, I just kind of developed the lyrics to go along with each character's words. And I tried to utilize Shakespeare's creativity to kind of infuse what a MC or an artist or a lyricist today would say in terms of what Shakespeare was trying to express.
Yeah, so that's literary musical. That's the term that you use to describe the book, and I guess you've really kind of laid that out for us, but it's good to know that that's what the term means, right, what you're talking
yes.
about.
Exactly, and the book is arranged in three segments. So the beginning of the book is the literary narrative, and so you have a description of each scene before the lyrical conversation starts, so you can know where the characters are, who they are, what they look like, what setting they're in. And so before each act and each scene, you kind of have a descriptive narrative in the literary narrative portion. Now the literary musical portion takes out the narrative, and then you just get the lyrical conversation from beginning to end. And then I've added a third component, which is the instrumental for the literary musical, so that if by chance you're interested in kind of reciting it along on your own, or reciting it with friends, or performing it for, you know, with each other in an attempt to recreate or recapture how it's being told in your own imaginative way with your own twist on how it's being presented, then you could do that as well.
Yeah. So as I sit here and I'm thinking about this, is the book more about Shakespeare or hip-hop or combo?
I think it's a combination. I think what my goal is to have people who really understand Shakespeare and love it for its storytelling and its imagination and its beauty and its tragedy, to understand that hip-hop is really a cousin to that literature. So it's a literary art form as well. There are a lot of artists and MCs who have spent years and years writing the material that they write and creating this art form, not just kind of standing in front of a microphone and just saying something, but literally taking the time to kind of write out their thoughts, write out their ideas. And there are some who are just so imaginative that they don't need to write it down, that it comes so naturally that they can capture an expose just standing in front of the microphone and having their experience kind of flow through them. So there are various versions of who those people are. And so I wanted to combine that ability to have structure within the writing and understand the importance of how much writing affects and impacts us and how beautiful it is to understand that writing, even, as I say, in the broken English of Langston Hughes, is just as beautiful as the perfect Thoreau writing that we know and love.
So you hinted at... You've hinted at this. You're doing a series of these Shakespearean plays translated into literary musicals using hip-hop lyricism. So if you're doing that, I am so curious, which Shakespeare plays do you do next? What are you going to do in the future as the follow-up?
Yeah, so the goal is to to share the second half, which would be When the Night Fell, Part 2, Clear's Fall. So once you get Clear's Rise and you get a taste of that and you really like it, you're going to want to check out Clear's Fall. And then what I want to do is a deluxe version, because at this point, the versions that are out, the version that is out and the second version that will come out is just me going over the lines of each character. And so with the deluxe version, I want to create a situation where I'm able to bring in cast members to play the roles of each individual character. And so you'll get the whole thing from beginning to end, Clear's Rise and Fall, as one combined book. So there'll be three components. So there's Clear's Rise, Clear's Fall, Clear's Rise and Fall, the combination. And then following that, the two plays that I'm have my eye on are Macbeth and Romeo and Juliet. And I kind of have an idea for what I want to do with Macbeth. And Romeo and Juliet is off in the distance, but it'll be the same format. I'll do the first half, the second half, and then a combination with a full cast of characters. So there'll be three kind of books for each play.
How fun is this for you to do it?
Time flies away. Everything disappears and you get immersed into a brand new world of imagination and creativity and, his culture. There are a lot of things that I did, as far as a lyricist or as far as like research and just as far as creating the tone and tenor and the presentation of the lyrics that I didn't even realize I was doing until after I did it. And I would listen to music and I was like, oh, wow, that's a reference to that. Or wow, that goes to that. And it was the same way for some of the Shakespeare stuff. Like, oh, I didn't even know that I was bringing that to light. So there's a equal playing field for ways to mine the material to see how it really connects to Shakespeare and how it also connects just as relevantly to hip hop.
Yeah. Wow. So talented. What? So innovative, too. Christopher Gary Simmons, it's called A Tribute to Hip Hop and Shakespeare's Othello, When the Night Fell, Part 1, Clear's Rise. You can get that all on Amazon. Christopher, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much. And the audiobook will be out soon. And the actual book is available on Amazon, as you said. And I think the audiobook is what people are really going to really love once they have their hands on the book. And so I want to thank you so much, Kate, for having me. I really appreciate the time. And looking forward to hearing how people react and respond to it and joy that they get out of it.
I love that. Christopher, thanks so much.
Who's the sexiest New York night. Who brings pleasure to the New York night? We'll clear the air. Girl, I know that's right. No need for excess light. He's got a diamond. 5'9", full figure, and straight shine. You know they hit the hottest spots on the islands. From that new club, Bonfire, in the Bahamas. To right here in Manhattan, I bring the karma. You can't stand it, well, have a seat. Here comes the drama. We did it first at N-U-C-E-E.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they share with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
It's time to invade the man cave.
All right, so it's so fitting that we close out with a visit to the man cave, or the woe man cave. Is 3 watts better than 1? I'm not talking about light bulbs. We actually have light bulbs that have wattage. I'm talking about J.J. Watt. Boy, this guy's incredible. And I think he was really kind of sad to leave the Houston, Texans. So we're sitting around in the cave. We'd be talking about this. Watt's two brothers, T.J. and Derek, both played for the Steelers. T.J. sent something out on Twitter last week when J.J. announced that he was being released on Friday and said that he wants his brother to join them in Pittsburgh. Can you imagine? Change has got to be tough when you're used to working for one organization. You're on the field with the Texans since 2011. He was the number 11 pick when he was drafted by the Texans, and he was really the face of that franchise. He won 3 NFL Defensive Players of the Year awards, and he's just an amazing player. He had injuries. That was
part of what happened to JJ in Houston, but he also really helped the community, and people love him in Texas. It's going to be hard to move on, I think, from Watt. But he had 1 year on the contract that he signed in 2014, so he was owed like $17.5 million in 2021, but the salary wasn't guaranteed, so now he can sign with a different team. Pittsburgh Steelers are interested, the Cleveland Browns, another team, Buffalo Bills, Tennessee Titans supposedly have expressed some interest in him. And he said his priority in determining his next team is, what do you think? It's not about the money. It's about the wins. It's about winning a Super Bowl. And his belief that he can play in a Super Bowl with a team if there's that supporting cast there. And he's never even reached a conference championship game with the Texans. So I think that was part of it, too. And I mean, this guy, it's all upside. He's one of the most productive pass rushers, I think, in the league when he's healthy. He certainly was with the Texans. And I think it's going to be tough for Texan fans, because when you lose one of your favorites, that's hard. I think it's hard for the McNair family. But I believe he'll still have big ties to Texas, and he moves on to another team. And what is that team? I mean, there's a flood of interest, I guarantee. I mentioned some of those teams, and who knows, there could be others that are interested in J.J. Watt, part of the game. All right, something else worth mentioning here, I think, is also this, because there's been like a backlash on this one resignation. So the Jacksonville Jags director of sports performance, Chris Doyle, resigned. And he is the former strength coach from the University of Iowa who was accused of making racist remarks and belittling and bullying players while there. I mean, he really was. And meaning the stories were heavy and they were out there and they flooded, I think, the social media space and other places as well. So Jags coach Urban Meyer said, and the general manager Trent Baalke released a statement. They said the team failed to properly consider the impact of hiring Doyle, that who reached a separation agreement from Iowa in June because of the allegations that were made by players. And like I said, those allegations were pretty intense. I mean, it was a lot of them. There were several players that were very, very specific, and that's why Iowa moved on. So I guess they just didn't think about that backlash. And Doyle being hired drew immediate backlash on Thursday of last week when the team announced the move as part of completing that coaching staff. So that's the whole idea, vetting. And they said they felt like they did a good job of vetting and that it's a hard question. And, you know, bottom line is, the university placed Doyle on administrative leave June 6th because of the allegations. Then he defended himself, saying that he hadn't crossed the line. And then it was announced that, boom, he's done. And he was the nation's highest paid actual strength coach. He was making $800,000, Doyle was, annually. So he got 15 months salary, over $1 million, and he and his family got benefits for 15 months until he found employment elsewhere. And, of course, that was with Jacksonville. And now Jacksonville has that problem. So he resigned. Chris Doyle resigned because there was no way that was happening. And it just goes to show you the carryover, and it's interesting of the vet that they didn't interview some of the players, or I don't think they interviewed some of the players. I don't know that for sure, but I don't think they did, because then they could have got to the bottom of obviously what Iowa had seen. All right, let's jump around here. So we would talk about this in the man cave. You know, we've got the NBA going on, and the NBA is out of the bubble, and so far so good. There have been COVID cases, but they've been dealt with. You know, I was the person who thought for sure we wouldn't even get through the NFL season, and then look what happened. Boom, no problem, got through so easy, effortlessly in a way. I mean, there was lots of COVID cases. The protocol was put in place. But I thought it was they were going to get hammered by it, and there was no way they were going to get through. Absolutely no way. So trading and sitting out and maneuvering is part of sports. We know that, and that's why I think the the regular person, I'll call the rest of us who aren't athletes, sometimes shake our heads at the money and the maneuverings and whatnot that happen in sports and the disgust over sometimes what players make and what they're whining about. So Blake Griffin is going to sit while the Detroit Pistons weigh a trade and buyout options for the former NBA All-Star. You think of Blake Griffin and the career he had going on the West Coast, but the six-time NBA All-Star forward and the Pistons have agreed that he's going to be out of the lineup until the franchise and his reps work through the resolution on his playing future. So they're looking at trade scenarios for Griffin. They're talking about a contract buyout with his agent, and the Pistons are moving, you know, they're moving forward toward rebuilding under one of their star players and to try to grow another, you know, grow younger players. Griffin is 31. So he's trying to find, this doesn't sound like a familiar theme, he's trying to find a role on a contending team, whatever that team is. And he did say he was grateful to the Pistons for understanding what he wanted to accomplish in his career and working together on the best path forward. So we talked about J.J. Watt. We're talking about the NFL. Finding a trade for Griffin, he's owed $36.6 million this season, $39 million 2022. That's going to be challenging for any team. And they'll see if they find it. We'll see if they find a deal. March 25th is the trade deadline, so they, you know, they're trying to do that. Griffin was traded less than a season into a 5-year, $171 million max deal with the Clippers, and got to Detroit in January of 2018. So once again, somebody else looking to make a move. Down under, all eyes are on a couple of players, including, and this is, you know, sports is about numbers. It's like when I do the Week in Count segment. Sports is about numbers. It's about athletes. It's about superhuman traits sometimes. It's about all kinds of things. But Novak Djokovic did something that hasn't happened. He goes down in the record books as a 300th winner at a major. 300 wins. So you got to, like, think about that. How often you get to these majors and go deep into the majors. And he has some crazy wild skills. There's no question about that. We've taken the show to a couple of different tennis spots, and I've seen Djokovic, and we've talked about Djokovic. So he wins a big one on Sunday, and he hits that 300 mark. He's an 8-time Aussie Open champion, and he's got to kind of recover because he has a little tweak on his. He's got tape above his right hip, and he kind of winced when he was stretching for some shots in a 3-hour match against a Canadian, Rannick, who was matching him a little bit. In the first set, they ended up in a tiebreaker, but then Djokovic came back and he won it in 4 sets. But, again, that record of 300 majors, wow. Pretty incredible in an individual sport, if you think about it. And just a quick reminder, I am doing a revision of my book, Invade the Man Cave. I can't wait to get it out. I'm even going to do a virtual section. Or how about sports we wish we could see? Sports we would pay good money for to get a ticket. What do you think those sports are? Think virtual world. And then what is the definition of sports? We'll talk about that another time in the Man Cave. Thanks so much for listening to the show. And remember, make it count, everybody.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs, so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A 1-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.